In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We all have heard the story of Christ meeting the Samaritan woman and revealing his identity to her. Among the Eastern churches, her name is known as she was baptized on the day of Pentecost.
14.
And in the early centuries, her reputation was nearly equal to that of the apostles themselves. She was a brilliant woman and evangelist, a great speaker who converted many. She is famous for having taught and preached in Carthage, the old capital of the Carthaginian Empire, the enemies of the Roman Empire, the western end of the Mediterranean on the African coast. She had five sisters who were baptized with her, and two sons, one of whom, Victor, was a great military leader among the Romans, and was called to Rome by Nero and ordered to persecute the Christians, which he did not. He stood with his mother and with her sisters. And when the Samaritan woman came to Rome on her own, not because Nero had sent out for her and captured her, she decided to see Nero herself rather than waiting to be called upon. She arrived in Rome with followers, because she had taught many people. And when Nero, surprised, met her, he asked, "Why do you come to me?" And she said to Nero, the emperor, "I come to teach you of Christ, that you might worship him," she said to the mad emperor, who would eventually burned the city of Rome and killed the apostle St. Peter and St. Paul. And Nero had her cast into prison along with her sisters and her sons and all of their followers. And there she set up a kind of Christian community right there in the prison, where she taught, preached, and instructed, and Romans who heard of her presence in the city came to her and were converted to the Christian faith. Nero decided to send one of his daughters to try to tempt her with the things that women love: beautiful jewels, diamonds, necklaces. When the daughter of Nero came to her, she found someone who was so quick, so sharp, just as we see her when she speaks to Christ. What things did she have to teach? We hear in the story of the Samaritan woman, first of all, about the living water. "If you had asked me," Jesus says, "I would have given you living water that would have been like a fountain flowing forth from within you." What is this living water? This living water is the Holy Spirit of God Himself. We hear of the Samaritan woman on the fifth Sunday of Pascha, as we come closer and closer to the day of Pentecost, the time of the descent of the Holy Spirit upon the new creation. And what is that new creation? Human beings reunited to God the Father through the Son who has done His work and made His work the bread of life, and now sends the Holy Spirit, that the Spirit of God might pour forth from within us. That is the living water. In the language of Scripture. Water that gives life, and light that enlightens us, are so very close. Oftentimes, they dance in a kind of interchangeability that reminds us of the waters that flow down from the mountains in a stream. And when we look at them, it's hard to know sometimes if we're looking at the water quickly flowing over the rocks, or whether we're looking at the light that flashes off of the water as it flows so quickly. And that's the way it is whenever water and the light of enlightenment are spoken of in Scripture and by the Fathers. The water of life for us is the life of God Himself. It is the Holy Spirit. We are created in such a way that God's life must pour forth from us like flowing rivers of living water. That was what was lost. And it is what Jesus, the Christ, the incarnate Son of God, brings in order to restore to us. When we are baptized into a death like His, into those waters, we arise into the light of His life, and waters of life pour forth from us. And this she was able to share with those who came to her in her prison. She was now a fountain of living water, who instructed those who came to her in the worship of God the Father in spirit and in truth. That was the second thing that Christ Himself had personally instructed her in. The day is coming when we will worship no longer on this mountain in Samaria, nor on the mountain of Jerusalem, but as God is spirit, we will worship Him in spirit and in truth. And as Jesus speaks, we see that He links the truth to Himself. And she recognizes that. And she says, "I know that Messiah comes." And He responds, "I who am before you am He." He is the truth. We will worship God in spirit and in truth, because of the fact that He is who He is. And then finally, we'll remember that when the apostles came, they were confused about Jesus' comment about the food that He has to eat. "I have food to eat that you know not of," He says. And they're confused. They say, "Does He have food that we didn't know about?" They have no idea what He's talking about. "My food is to do the will of the one who sent me. My food is to do the will of the one who sent me." Our food is to do the will of God. God has become incarnate. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He lives from the food of doing the will of the Father who has sent Him. And in the fullness of His humanity, the food that He has is the food that He has from the Father. And He Himself for us is that food, to share in the doing of the work of Christ. Jesus says, "One sows and another reaps." He identifies Himself as the sower, the one who has come fully God and at the same time fully man, who is able to live and to do the kind of life that human beings were created to do. And what does that mean? As human beings, we are created to do the will of God, to bring the will of God into the world by the work that we do in the world. And this is what Christ is doing. This is what his whole life is. And the work that he does will heal the world, destroy the power of death, make it possible for us to enter into his divine human work, restore to us a way of doing what makes us human beings, to do the will of God in Christ. He restores the meaning of our lives and holds out to us the salvation of living a meaningful life, doing the will of God in him, sharing in his work. He has sown and we will reap the harvest. We who have not sown, we who would not have been able to do the work of Christ himself. Everyone knows the expression, what would Jesus do? And the idea is that we should do what Jesus did. But we can't do what Jesus did. We can share in what he did. What did he do? He did the work that no human being could do. The work that makes our lives meaningful. The work that can be done even in the face of the presence of death in the world, because he overcame death. That was the work that he did. That is what Jesus did. But we can share in what he did. We can reap the fruit of his sowing. We can live lives from God through Christ in the Holy Spirit. And so, our ability to be human is healed in Christ's divine humanity. And this is what she had to teach, to preach to those who came to her, even though she had been imprisoned by Nero. And when Nero's daughter came to her and brought the jewels and heard all of these things, she herself became a Christian. And she and the women that had come with her took the wealth that Nero had given in order to tempt, and they distributed Nero's wealth to the poor. And then finally, Nero killed all of her sisters, her five sisters. He killed her two sons. And again, he called her to him. And he demanded of her, "Will you now worship the idols that I set before you?" And the response of the Samaritan woman to Nero was this: "O evil and most immoral of men, do you think me so deluded that I would worship idols as blind as you?" And she laughed and spit into his face. And he sent her to be thrown into a deep well, where she died, martyred by the same emperor who would one day martyr both Saint Peter and Saint Paul.
Saint Photinus'
story and reputation throughout the East was very great. Orthodox love to hear the story of the Samaritan woman and how we are called to worship God in spirit and in truth. Because the center of things and the fountain of all doctrine and teaching are the fact that God restored our human nature so that we could, by a worship that is not simply glorification of a God who is distant from us, but in the divine liturgy, an actual participation in his divine life that has been passed down through the generations, so that all of us are able to worship God in the Holy Spirit of God and in truth through Jesus the Christ, who is the bread of life, and go into the world, and rivers of living water can pour forth from us the divine life and truth of God Himself. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.